As we stand, let's pray. Jesus Christ, King of Kings, show us more of your glory today. Amen. Please be seated. I hope you all have one of these leaflets in front of you, because we're going to walk through it, as it were. If you don't, now's your chance to put your hand up, and Anne and John will be poised and can get one to you. Wow, that is impressive, isn't it? Everyone's got one. Great. Oh, there's one. Joyce, thank you. Don't be shy. It's really helpful to have it in front of you so you can follow our thinking. Brilliant. This document sets out our vision as a church. American pastor Bill Hybels defines vision as a picture of the future that produces passion. A picture of the future that produces passion. For Martin Luther King, this was the picture of two children, one black, one white, sitting together on a seesaw, oblivious to the color of the skin of the other child. For Alex Isigonis, that's for the car nerds among us, for Alex Isigonis, it was a small car, cheap to run, fun to drive, and big enough for a whole family. The famous... Thank you. For Louise, our organist, it is that her beloved Arsenal FC will eventually win the Premier League title again. They have been waiting for 13 years and counting. A picture of the future that produces passion. But do we really need this talk about vision here in Denham? Haven't we been doing all right? Is this really more than a modern marketing fad? Former German Chancellor Helmut Schmidt once said, "People who have visions should go see a doctor." Was he right? At the top of the title page, you find two short phrases: God's plan, our vision. The God we believe in is a dynamic God. He's the Lord of history. He directs us towards a destination. The Bible has a beginning, a center, and an end. And today, of course, is also called Christ the King, when we're reminded that history is moving towards a glorious finale, when Christ the King will be acknowledged by everyone and every knee will bow. God has a plan for the world. He has a plan for each one of us here today. He has a plan for our church here in Denham. Romans chapter 8 says that we are called according to God's purpose. The fact that you sit here today is part of God's plan and purpose, and not an accident. When Jesus describes the rule of God, he often uses growth images. For example, a little mustard seed growing into a large tree. God is not a God of stagnation. He has a plan. And it is our task to see it as clearly as we can, and then to apply it to this place and this time, Denham, AD 2017. And of course, we need the right pair of glasses for this. We need the right vision. God's plan, our vision. It is a vision, as you can see on the title page, for Denham Parish Church. Not only for St. Mary's, or St. Mark's, or St. Francis. Not just for the events taking place in this building. No, it's a vision for the role of the community who follow Jesus in this parish. God has given us influence. He has given us a mission to family, friends, neighbors, colleagues. The church exists for the benefit of its non-members, as Archbishop William Temple famously said. Incidentally, denhamparish.church is not a typo. It's our internet address. So that everyone who sees this brochure can type it into a browser. And very soon, in the next few days, they will see our brand new website. We're just putting the finishing touches to it. So by the end of this week, do go online if you have got a computer or a tablet or smartphone. Type it in and you'll see our new website with all the information, including all the Christmas activities. So how do we make sure we get this vision right? We go to the center of God's purposes, the person of Jesus Christ. St. Paul says in Ephesians 3, the church's role is to make known the wisdom of God in accordance with the eternal purpose that God carried out in Jesus Christ. Jesus wasn't God's plan B after everything else had failed. He has always been the cornerstone of God's purposes. And our vision needs to reflect that. Over the course of our consultation this year on leading our church into growth, three central words have emerged. You see them on the front here. Pray, welcome, share. And as you open the leaflets, you will see the full statements. We pray like Jesus. We welcome like Jesus. We share like Jesus. Each section then gives a biblical foundation and a short summary, as well as some bullet points which develop that point. For now, can I ask you to close the leaflet again? Because otherwise you'll read the bullets for the rest of the sermon and you won't listen to me. Thank you. Because I want to reflect with you briefly on the reading from Ephesians that Anne read to us earlier. And just 2 points I want to make from this reading. Firstly, our vision is to know Christ. And secondly, our vision is to be Christ. Know Christ and be Christ. In the Greek original, verses 15 to 19 is one long sentence. And at its center is this statement. Paul says, I pray that you may know God's riches. I pray that you may know God's riches. Before we do anything, we need to have a vision of God. Everything else follows. That's why prayer is the first word on our title page. Everything begins with prayer. The revolutionary message of the Christian faith is that we can know God through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Our deepest satisfaction, our deepest purpose is found when we see Jesus Christ for who he is, Christ the King. And so, being deeply connected with Jesus through prayer, through Bible reading, worship, taking Holy Communion as we do today, it's not an optional extra, it's not an add-on, it's the foundation of everything else. If Jesus needed to pray to be connected with his Father, how much more do I? And that's a challenge, because it's so easy to get busy. For a devout Muslim, daily times of prayer are sacrosanct. For a devout Jew, keeping Sabbath is sacrosanct. How are you and I making sure that we have a clear vision of Christ day by day? It's wonderful, isn't it, when you get a new pair of glasses and you walk out of the optician's and suddenly the world is so clear. Amazing, that's what the world looks like. It's like everything's freshly washed. But then something funny happens to me as the days go on. The world tends to blur over again. Until I finally, you're much better than I am sure, take my glasses off, hold them against the light and think, oh my goodness, they're dirty. We need to be deeply connected with Christ to keep our spiritual glasses clean, to have a clear vision of Christ. That's better. Secondly, our vision is to be Christ. Now, some of us might sit here and hear that our vision is to be Christ and think, isn't that arrogant or even blasphemous? But stay with me as we look at the second half of this Ephesians passage. Tim Keller says about this Bible passage, faith is primary, practice is necessary. I love this. Faith is primary, practice is necessary. Our actions, our good works, will never save us. Only faith in Jesus can do that. But faith will lead to a life of love and service. Our gospel reading makes this very plain. Faith without actions is dead. Prayer will flow into welcome and sharing. And if it doesn't, we should ask ourselves whether we have really committed our lives fully to Jesus. Faith is primary. Practice is necessary. In the second half of the Ephesians passage, Paul gives an astounding explanation for this. Verses 22 to 23, he says, Jesus is Lord of everything. We just sang that. Jesus is Lord of all. He's the head of the church, and the church is his body, which displays the fullness of Jesus. The church is Jesus' body, which displays his fullness. This blows my mind. This is how the Message translation puts the same verses. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. No, the world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. I think if you and I are honest, we have to admit our vision of the church is most of the time far too small. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. Wow, that's God's plan. Our vision is to be Christ. All of us who follow Jesus as members of this church, we represent Christ even more. We are Christ to others. And so we welcome like Jesus. We've experienced God's welcome in Jesus, and so we are Jesus' welcome to others, making no distinctions between rich and poor, deserving or undeserving, young and old. And we're going to work hard as a church to make our meetings, our events, our buildings, our services as inviting and welcoming as possible, avoiding any unnecessary barriers. But the key to that is you, the people who represent Jesus. We share like Jesus. Jesus has shared his very self with us. And if God gives himself to us so completely, how can I hold anything back? And so we share ourselves with others, share our lives, share the good news of Jesus. That's why small groups are so central to our vision, places where we share life beyond Sunday morning. That's why we'll offer regular courses that introduce people to Jesus and the Christian faith. That's why we are called to love and to care for those in need. Pray, welcome, share, like Jesus. Are we there yet? No, we're not. But we're on the way together. And I'm so excited to see God at work among us. There are so many signs of that. And I guess I've got a privileged vantage point, but we need to share with each other how God is at work in our church, among us and through us. So, what are we going to do with this leaflet, this vision and mission statement? Well, firstly, I think it will hold us accountable. It helps us to check whether we are on track. It's like the white lines on the road. Are we still on the right road? Or have we gone off on a sidetrack? Secondly, it will help us to decide whether a good idea that we might have is part of this journey or a distraction. And thirdly, it is my prayer that just metabolizing this, internalizing it, living with it, will stir a godly creativity in us. That God will give us all kinds of wonderful ideas how we can be such a group of people who pray, welcome, and share. Please take it home, reflect on it, use it for your prayers. And I'd love to ask all of us, in fact, I am asking all of us to do one thing over the next days. Please reread the passage from Ephesians. Just take this news sheet with you. It's in there. Prayerfully reread it. Reflect on it. Meditate on it. And ask, how would my life be different if I knew these truths in my very bones? Make a list. And then decide to make one change, one step on this journey of praying, welcoming, and sharing. Ted and Josie Greener were interviewed on Songs of Praise last Sunday because, like the Queen, they are celebrating their 70th wedding anniversary this year. And here is what they said. We pray together twice a day. At 93, that is the one thing that is left for us that we're able to do. It is to pray for others. It is the economy of grace. At 93, they have a godly vision, and they are not done yet. When I was 16, my father became the minister of a church that had dwindled to about 12 people. And it looked dire. The previous vicar had left. He had left the ministry. Over the previous years, he had twice tried to take his own life, once inside the church building. And the church was on its knees. But as we arrived as a family, we had experienced the beauty and the power of a local church, what a local church can be. We didn't just see what was. We were also able to see what could be. And by God's grace, there were just a few other people living in that place who joined us, who shared with us that dream. And so we prayed and we went to work. And seeing lives transformed by the love of Christ is a miracle every time. Lives healed from greed, from family breakdown, addiction, a lack of purpose. And so over the years, I have more and more realized that God's call on my life is to help local churches to fulfill that vision from God, to help our church fulfill its potential. We're not done yet, and I'm not up for treading water, doing more of the same. Life is too precious. This task is daunting and exciting in equal measures, but there's nothing better than to be following God's community, God's vision for this community, the body of Jesus, the church. Thank you for being on this journey with Edda and myself and everyone else. On the back page, you can find a summary of the process we've been through and then some of the priorities for the next years, some of the actions we are planning to take. Now, that's not a comprehensive list. Of course, we'll do other things. And always there is a fine balance between having some ambitious goals and not biting off more than we can chew. We will be reviewing this document and our goals on a regular basis and I commend it to you as a working document. As I finish, I would like to take the quote, which you find on the back page at the bottom, quote by John Stott, and I would like to turn it into a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the church lies at the very center of your eternal purposes. We are surprised, we are honored, and we are overwhelmed that you should choose normal people like us to represent Jesus. Thank you that we are not an accident of history. Thank you that every person here today, every person who belongs to this church community, is there for a reason, because you have called them. And so we pray that more and more you would lead us into your good plans for this new community of Jesus. Amen.